Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Joe and Michelle.
Welcome, friends, to the GC Podcast, episode 7. It's like the most perfect number, right?
I've heard that.
I mean, it's a perfect number. But what's even more fascinating is the way that we number our episodes is we put two zeros before the number. So, Michelle, this is 007 episode.
What?
Yeah, it's our secret agent episode. Well, and I think it's only fitting to introduce myself as Brannon, Joe Brannon, and I am the digital content developer on the GCI Media team. And to commemorate the 007 episode, I grew up wanting to be a spy. Did you know that?
I could see you carrying out some missions.
Hey, I mean, I'm just saying. And I think Sean Connery, and I know this is not very popular, and Daniel Craig are the better James Bonds out of all the other ones. I did not like the Pierce Brosnan.
You like the Alpha and Omega of our Bond so far, the first and the last.
It was the first and the last.
I'm Michelle Fleming, GCI Media Director, drinking my coffee shaken, not stirred this morning.
Yes, yes. High five. Whoop. That was good.
Thank you.
Now,
will this episode self-destruct at the end?
No, because this is not an impossible mission.
Oh! You really are a true Bond.
But Michelle, you have an interesting tidbit about the whole James Bond and Fleming.
Yeah, that's right. Ian Fleming is the creator of James Bond. I'm sure a very, very distant relative.
So not Uncle Ian.
Not Uncle Ian. But, you know, maybe he was thinking about the bloodline and he knew that, you know, some really inquisitive people were coming down who could carry out some secret missions.
Well, we are so glad that you are here and wanting to vest in yourself as a ministry leader. We've got another good one today, and I say that every single episode because every single episode is a good one. In this episode 007, our secret agent episode, what a fitting episode this is for this episode number. Because I actually end up sitting down with CJ Malcar, who is currently the pastoral resident in GCI's GC Surrey Hills, which is located just a few minutes west of Oklahoma City. CJ shares how she engages her neighborhood by leveraging social media, and she helped build community by using social media first, and it now has grown to something much bigger and real than she ever imagined. And it's a really good episode. It helped me to actually do some similar things in my neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
And I've been seeing kind of the same fruits of it.
Yeah. And I think one thing I really saw what she was saying was that it was just one next step, right? It was like simple, small steps in the same direction. And just seeing how, you know, she was joining with Jesus and the Holy Spirit led the way. It was really, really an interesting and powerful episode to listen to.
Yeah, it really is. So as a church, whether you're pastor, ministry leader, or member, this is a great episode to get some nuggets on how you can engage your community in a soft way by building relationships first. But before we jump into the episode, just real quick, update on the podcast. Don't forget, you can find the GC Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. all you got to do is search GC Podcast dash GCI, or what I found the simplest way, just search Grace Communion International, and you'll see all of our different like medias that we have on those platforms, and GC Podcast is there. So, got to subscribe to it, share it, review, give feedback. Also,
yes,
we're getting some traction, by the way, Michelle.
Oh, fill me in.
Yeah. So, I want to give a shout out real quick to those who are listening and who do subscribe to it. I've had people tell me that they're listening to it. Matter of fact, shout out to Mark and Ann. I don't want to say your last name, but you know who you are, Mark and Ann, because they actually came up to me and they say, we love the podcast. We're listening to them. And I was like, really? you listen to him. She goes, oh, yes, we do. Avid high fiver. And she gave me, I was like, you are listening to them.
I love it. I love it.
So if you do listen to this episode, come and tell us about the whole James Bond episode. Mm-hmm. And this will be really fun. It's not the James Bond episode. Secret Agent.
That's right.
Yeah. Secret Agent episode. Also, as a reminder, the regional celebrations, there's only a couple of celebrations that are open right now, the registrations. That's for the North Central, which is in Noblesville, Indiana. That's open until August 1st. And then registration is open for the East Celebration in Ocean City, Maryland, and that's open until September 9th. The celebration in Dallas, Texas, and here in Charlotte are actually just coming up in a few days when this episode is released. And if you're there, come on.
Please give us a high five.
Yes,
come we'll and say We'll be at both hi. Of those.
We will.
Yeah.
We will. So be sure to come and say hi to us and let us know what you think about the podcast. Mm-hmm. And let us know like what kind of episodes you'd like to hear. What are some topics that you'd like to hear?
Oh, we would love that.
Yes, we would. We would. We're becoming dry with creativity.
I don't know if that's possible.
Maybe not. You can go to gci.org/events for exact dates, schedules for each celebration, and also to register for the remaining two celebrations. So let's jump into this episode and my conversation with CJ Malmkar and how she leverages social media to engage and build community in her neighborhood. In the studio today, I have one of my besties.
Whoop, whoop.
I've got CJ Malmkar in the GC studio, came all the way from Oklahoma just to do this podcast.
No.
Oh. No.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
But I would have.
Yeah. I know you would have. No, you wouldn't have.
Guess she'll never know.
CJ is, let me tell you a little bit about CJ, okay?
Uh-oh.
She and Lucas, it's a power duo. These two, you'll get to meet Lucas in a later episode, but they are a power duo, and CJ is a wife, a mother of two great boys. She currently leads worship there, leads the teen ministry, and she also runs a mobile coffee shop called A Latte Love.
Yes.
And, you know, and just because that's not enough and all the other things that she does, she's also, you know, just finishing a master's, you know, because she was a little bit bored, I guess. But I'll tell you what, she is a passionate follower of Jesus. She loves the church, loves their community, and we're longtime friends, but also she has the energy to be harnessed to power a small city, I'm pretty sure.
Aww.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Between you and Lucas both, it's y'all's energy is like through the roof. So
it goes from electricity to now the windmills are in. Next it'll be CJ and Lucas supplying energy.
I'm just saying, you know, I don't see why not. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you.
We're so glad you're here.
We're happy to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, we're super happy to be here. So I would like for you to give a brief background of your story, like a little bit of your GCI story. You know, you grew up in the church. I mean, we've known each other almost our whole lives.
Dead.
And then you left for college, came back. So tell a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, so I was a crazy teenager. Lost my mind like many teenagers, and I ran from the church and I never looked back, and ended up moving to Nebraska. I went to the University of Nebraska, met my future husband, graduated with my bachelor's in communications, and got him and moved him to Oklahoma City. My family is still in Oklahoma, so I wanted to be closer. And still, my husband was raised Catholic. So, you know, it was a very interesting duo from our past.
Yeah.
And we knew what we didn't believe. We knew that. And we had our first son, Kaysen. And when he hit about a year old, all of a sudden, God started speaking to us. And we knew we had to find a church.
We just happened, my son started a daycare in my neighborhood of Surry Hills, which this is a neighborhood on the outskirts of Oklahoma City, and it is just like a small town almost. And we went to the daycare there, and Miss Julie, which is Pastor Mike Rasmussen's wife, was working there, and one day she put a magnet for the church in my son's diaper bag. Yeah. And I found it and put it on my refrigerator, and Lucas and I tried it a couple of weeks later, not knowing it was the same church.
Oh, really?
I didn't
know.
I didn't know it was the same church. I had no idea. Like, I figured everybody had splintered off and went different places. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had no idea. And I go in, and joke was on me from Jesus. You know, he's like,
ha! Same place that you grew up in.
Yeah. Well, not the same building.
Right,
brand
right,
new, but,
right.
You know.
Same people.
Yeah. And Lucas and I, just from day one, it felt like home.
Yeah.
And we felt needed, and we felt loved and accepted. And that was just something that those words, especially the acceptance, was not anything that I have ever associated at that time with church before.
Yeah.
It's just not.
Yeah.
And it just started changing our lives and our family. And then as God spoke, we just went all in.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it. There was no choice in the matter. It was just, that's what God wanted. We both knew it. We felt it. And so ever since then, it's just, you know, been, how can I help? How can I help?
Yeah.
And it is beautiful. It's been a beautiful thing.
Is it too bold for me to say that when you experienced Jesus's love in a very real and tangible way, that there was this compelling that it's like, I can't help myself. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, one of my favorite verses is, you know, his love compels us.
Yes.
And it's just, I can't help myself, you know, and
yeah.
It's so true. I feel like a little kid with a huge jar of candy in front of me. And I'm just like, I don't care. I'm diving in.
Yeah.
You know, if I get in trouble, I get in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm doing
yeah.
this. And that's how I feel about ministry. Like, I couldn't. The more I learned the difference in religion and relationship, it changed everything for me, and I knew it could change everything for everybody who starts to understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
And how could I keep that in?
And the rest is history. The way you guys jumped in, I mean, you couldn't jump in enough. You were just, I remember because you were walking across the lawn, and I was like, is that CJ? And I was like, that must be her husband and her kid. And my wife, Megan, you know, was like, yeah, that's CJ. And it was crazy.
Surprise!
And yeah, it was nuts. And so I know the church there started going through, you know, a lot of changes in the sense of wanting to become more community focused, getting outside of the walls, probably, I don't know, like maybe a couple of years after you guys showed up, or a year after you guys showed up. Something like that?
Yeah, when we showed up, they were doing that. They were going door to door in the little bitty, it's not even really a town,
right.
An incorporated town
right.
where the church was located.
Yeah.
But there was just no traction. You know
yeah.
what I mean? There was no traction coming from that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just 3 miles outside of where the pastor lives, Pastor Mike,
yeah.
and as well as where Lucas and I live.
Yeah.
And I just saw opportunity and, you know, what is our target community?
Right.
Is it where our church physically is, or is it where our neighbors are, our hearts are, our lives are? You know, Jesus calls us to do life on life. Well, he placed us in Surry, so
yeah.
it's not like it was 2 hours away. It was 3 miles away.
Yeah.
And so we just followed that calling.
So the church was located in that town of Richland.
Yes.
Which was, you said, like 3 miles, you said?
It's 3 miles, yeah, west of Surry
Hills. Okay. And this is in the middle of nowhere.
Oh.
I mean, it's farm town. I mean, it's nothing but just farmland all over the place out
oh, yeah.
there. And you guys lived in a community called Surry Hills, which is, 10, maybe not even 10 minutes north of UConn.
Right.
And so you guys were trying to get into the community in Richland. Not a whole lot of, there was traction, but not the depth.
Right.
Really.
Like, we could feel the breeze coming from underneath the door, but the door was not opening.
That's good. I like that
yeah.
illustration. Yeah.
Yeah.
But tell me what was going on in Surry Hills in the meantime, even though you guys were still trying to engage that community where the building was, where you guys were living. What was going on there?
Relationship. Relationship, relationship. And what we didn't realize as we're all building these relationships within our community, because that's what I'm from, a small town. Mm. And my neighborhood, I mean, there's like 5,000 people total in all, you know, in Surry Hills now because it keeps growing. And so it's very much reminded me of the small town I grew up in. Mm. So, you know, as all these relationships are building, all of a sudden we've got like, I think 27 members living in Surry Hills.
Wow.
Nope, nobody planned this. Nobody talked to each other.
Yeah.
It's just, oh yeah, by the way, we bought a house in Surry. We move in next weekend. Oh, by the way, we're building a house in Surry. Hey, we're moving to Surry. I mean, it wasn't discussed. It wasn't talked about.
Yeah.
The spirit was moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's undeniable.
Yeah. Because at the time, you had Mike Rasmussen living in there, you guys were living there, and only like a couple other people that were living in the Surry Hills area.
Yeah.
And you're talking, what, like 8 people roughly?
Yeah.
And now you're saying now there's about 27 people that live from the church.
From the church.
Yeah. And we're not talking
not people
about
that come and visit once a year, people who are active in our church.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're not talking about this church is, you know, 100 plus. We're talking this church is, what, 60 on average every week? So a almost half of the church has moved into this particular community. So what questions started occurring when this started happening?
Like, what are you doing, Jesus? I mean, we were doing everything that we felt moved to do, you know, about reaching outside the walls, okay? And it, like I said, we could feel the breeze, but we were like pounding on the door and the door wasn't open. And it's like all of a sudden this huge like breeze just shoots through and the door just blows wide open, but it's not the door that we were pounding on.
What did it look like at the beginning, you know, before all the people started moving there? Tell me what was going on, because you mentioned there in Surry Hills. I said, what was happening there? You said relationships.
Yeah.
In what way? Like how are those relationships being built?
Okay, this is 2019, people. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but there's this thing and it's called Facebook.
Oh.
I know.
Interesting.
No, and what's so funny is in the Christian religion, especially specifically churches, they really warn us against social media. Mm-hmm. And it can be a powerful tool and it can hurt you in a bad way when used improperly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is not a place to argue. It's not a place for politics. It's not a place for these things.
Yeah.
But if you are wanting to use it as a way to build relationship, that's exactly what it was intended for, for people to connect.
Yeah.
And so when you live in a neighborhood, and you know, I just moved in, I had lived in Nebraska all these years, I find that there, I just search Facebook for Surry Hill, the word Surry Hills, and I find that we have a Surry Hills neighborhood page with like 2,000 people in it.
Oh, wow.
And so I joined the page, and not even intentionally for our church, but as a neighbor, I just started feeling compelled by God. You know, I love to cook. I would have leftover food. I'd put it on the neighborhood page. If anybody needs a meal tonight, you know, let me know. And that led into Surry Hills Meals of Love, which is something that we created just us and some neighbors, that when anything happens in the neighborhood, we support each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started making friends, and anytime, now I had to be very mindful because I am only human, right? So of course I'm going to see things that I just want to dive in and, you know, argue, or I want to dive in and say, no, this isn't right. But that's not who I am.
Mm.
And that's not what I represent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, thank God for the backspace key, right?
Wait, there is a delete? There's a delete key?
I mean, not even delete. You can type it all out and push backspace before you ever push
it. Oh, wow.
So it's fantastic. No, but it's just a fantastic tool. And all of a sudden, like, it's kind of funny because I always say, you guys are so wrong. You don't even know me. But on the neighborhood page, it's became a joke now that they call me Saint CJ.
Saint CJ.
I know. You know me my whole life. So you're like, that's not true. But it was like, who is this girl? Like, who is this girl?
Yeah.
And it was only a matter of time before it was, my church. You know, every now and then I would just say, hey, in fact, I can remember how it started. I said, I just want you guys to know, once I had developed these relationships and, there was a lot of conversation going on in this neighborhood page, I just remember putting a post and saying, hey, if any of you are looking for a church, I just want you to know, like, after years of not going to church, after years of, running from religion because I don't like it, I found something that has changed my life.
Yeah.
And if any of you ever want to come, let me know. And from that point forward, it was just God opening door after door after door. It was, that year I became friends with a couple of very vocal people on the page. They were just neighbors. And yeah. So I became friends with them over Facebook. They're now two of my closest friends that we see every week, yeah. But as that relationship grew with them, all of a sudden they wanted to start a trunk or treat. And they're like, CJ, you like to do events and stuff, help us. And so as I'm doing it, they're like, hey, why don't you come and put your church's name on this?
So they came to you saying, why don't you put your church's name on this? You didn't request this.
No, I did not request this. I mean, that would be rude.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I didn't request it. They said, I tell you what, why don't you come put your church's name on this? Because what they were doing is they said, we're going to need people. And I'm like, oh, I can get you people, guys. That's not a problem. My church is filled with people who want to love and serve.
Yeah.
So whatever that means, we're not trying to get people, force people to come to our church, but we want to serve because that's what we're called to do.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, great. Put your church's name on it.
Wow.
I'm like, no, that's not necessary. And they said, no, it is necessary. We want you to do this. And so that was the first thing. And it was huge. Like 400 people, that first year showed up. And then we decided that we wanted to give back to the community. So there was this little pocket park, and it hasn't been touched in probably 35 years, the equipment.
Wow.
And we went in and we cleaned it up and we put a fresh coat of paint on everything, added some color, and we invited the neighborhood to join us using the Facebook page because it has 2,000 people in it, So any events that we did, any projects we wanted to do, we put on this Facebook page and said, and it wasn't, hey, as a church, we're doing this. If you want to come help, it was, hi, neighbors. This is CJ, your neighbor. And my church and I want to do this project and give back to the community. And I know that's something that we all want to do. So if you're willing to help us, and we had more community people show up than we did church people that day.
Wow.
And we had a lot of church people there.
Right, right.
It was mind-blowing. And from that point forward, I knew they'll show up.
Yeah.
They care.
So it's not that you went and joined the Chamber of Commerce or some office like that and met with all the business people. You did like a grassroots. Why did you want to get on the Facebook page in the first place?
I mean, I wanted to do it for, like I said, relationship. I lived there.
And you weren't asked by your pastor to do this.
No, he didn't even know about it. So as I start telling him these stories, he's like, what? I mean, and I just start adding people from my church who live around the community to the page. I mean, none of them, I didn't even know what was happening.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus has quite the sense of humor.
Yeah.
And I mean, when we say he's in control, he is in control. Like I said, we didn't even know what was hitting us. I was just doing what God calls us all to do. And that's love my neighbor.
Mm.
I was trying to make friends. I was trying to make relationships. I was trying to share people's burdens and, have someone to talk to because sometimes life's not pretty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it just organically happened, but it happened fast.
How did you build those relationships through social media? Because I'm sure some people that are listening, there's that stigma of well, it's social media. It's a screen. How can you really develop a relationship through that?
Oh, man, you guys, like these neighborhood pages. I mean, like it can't be. I love this saying. It's one of my favorite sayings. It can't be, as a church, it can't be about trying to get your community to come to your church. Hmm. It's about being the church to your community. And that doesn't just happen as an organization. It happens on an individual, personal level. Each of us need to do that. So, you know, when somebody was saying, I ran out of gas, Lucas and I were hopping in our car to race there, even though we didn't know these people,
right,
to help them with gas. When any people reach out for help without straight up asking, but they'll let you know. And anytime I saw anything, I said, you know, what can I do for you? How can I help you? And I meant it. And I followed through with it.
Yeah.
And it was just being genuine. And it was, you know, developing trust.
Yeah.
And I became a trusted member of the community. And I was asked to join as president of the HOA 1 association. And I have turned it down over and over and over. But the reason for that is just like politics, I don't want to get into something where I'm going to be a stumbling block for people.
Right, right.
I want to love people where they are. I don't care, you know, either side. So, you know, that's what it's just about. We're just called to be love our neighbor. And that's how it all started. And once that trust was there, it didn't matter anything I would post, people would show up. And I think it's because they felt those relationships. And now all of a sudden, because of these events, it's not just relationships with me.
Mm.
There's all of my church, many of my church members who live in the neighborhood now.
Yeah.
They've got relationships with these people.
Right.
And, you know, I can't tell you how many times that we're like, oh, you're with Crosswalk. Where is that church? We've driven around this whole neighborhood and we can't find that church. And I'm like, well.
Because it's like 3 miles out in the sticks.
Right. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Would you do anything different?
Oh.
When it came to engaging your community, because that's what you were doing. You were engaging your community through social media is what it sounds like, mm-hmm, and developing those relationships as an individual, because that's your community. That's your neighborhood. That's where your son goes to school. That's where you guys shop. You go to the convenience store. I mean, it's where you work,
right,
play, and go to school. I mean, all of it. It's your marketplace.
Right. I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, because
right,
I'm not, but I wouldn't do anything different because of the congregation that I'm a part of.
Right.
If I was not a part of what I feel to be a healthy church,
mm-hmm,
none of that would have been good, because
right,
I don't want people to come to my church and feel burdened or leave not feeling better than they did and more loved than they did when they came.
Yeah.
Because that's something I suffered with. You know, I struggled with that for years with church. That's the reason I didn't go.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the saying that the roof might fall in, you know, but the way I don't have any regrets, because at times I didn't even know I was following the Spirit's lead. I don't know so much if I was following as he was pulling me.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And it's been fantastic. And I think doing it organically, and because then it's relational,
mm-hmm,
and it's all about relationship. And no, I mean, nothing I did, nothing about me. This was all the work of Jesus, and I just got to be a part of it.
And I want to point out a key thing that you said right there is, if the church that you were attending at the time wasn't a healthy church, you don't know if you would have even been doing this in the first place.
Absolutely, because the last thing I want to do is, I mean, I have this passion for the unchurched.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that means that they've never went to church, or that they've went to church and they're burned and they're mad at God,
yeah,
and they're struggling, it would not be good to say, hey, I understand, I was the same way, come for healing here, and they come one time and they leave feeling beaten down.
Right.
And they leave feeling judged and not good enough. And, you know, then I've just lost my credibility and my relationship with these people and the trust.
Right.
So, I mean, I was putting my name on it as a friend and as a neighbor, not as an employee of the church, because I wasn't an employee of the church.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that definitely changes everything. You've got to, before you can do this, you've got to be a healthy church. You've got to be a church that wants to love on the community where they're at. Not where you are, not where you think they should be, but where they are.
Yeah.
And that's hard. It's a hard thing to do. It's something that I still work on every day, every single day.
I think all of us do.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to look at our circle and get comfortable in our circle and be like, I'm just going to stay right here.
Yeah.
And I want people to just come to me. It's so much easier just to sit here and allow people to come to you instead of stepping into their world.
But that's how organizations die.
Yeah. Mm.
That's how they die.
Yeah.
And you can deny it and you can turn your head and you can close your eyes and shake your head and say, no, it's not happening. And it doesn't change what is.
Well, and even more so, that's not who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ steps into, he did and continues to step into the middle of our world, our mess, and meet us exactly where we are.
Yeah, in our brokenness. You know? And I mean, who are we that he, you know, a king,
a king
becomes a baby, a human, out of his love for us.
Yes.
I mean, lots of babies go on to be kings, but you know, a king.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, man.
So I don't know if your answer is going to change for this next question, but if there's a pastor or ministry leader that we're listening right now, and they're kind of on the fence of whether to use social media, whether as an individual or a church, and they're listening to this, what kind of advice would you give them? What would you say to that pastor ministry leader that might not be using social media or whatever?
If you're not comfortable with social media, I promise you someone in your congregation is, or they could become that way. But like I said, although it is a huge blessing and has blessed our church in so many ways, at the same time, it can be a destroyer if you don't have the right person doing it. And that is, I mean, you are representing Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. And so, you know, but with that being said, I think that it's a huge, huge help when it comes to reaching outside the walls. When we do an event, our last event, we had like over 600 people show up.
And that was a trunk or treat again, right?
This last trunk or treat, right? And it was over. I mean, we lost count. It was just like a herd. It was insane.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to put up signs. We didn't have to spend money on graphics and banners. We didn't do that. All we did was post on the Surrey Hills Neighbors page.
Yeah.
And we did it in advance. We didn't post it 2 days before. You know, we planned and we figured this out. But it wasn't our church doing it. It was our church coming. Every event we do, we say sponsored by Crosswalk Community Church and the Surrey Hills Neighbors.
Wow.
Because everything we do, like, I think we had, I want to say like 15 trunks, and under half of them were our church.
Yeah.
Everyone else was just people from the community, the neighbors. And it's just, the church shouldn't take full credit because it's not a church thing. We get to join them.
Right.
You know, as a neighborhood. Thing. It's a community. This is what community is.
And the church is joining them on accomplishing this.
Yes.
So I guess during this trunk or treat, which, by the way, if you're listening to this, you don't know what a trunk or treat is. It's an event done usually around Halloween or on Halloween that churches typically do for safety reasons and those kinds of different reasons, but cars park and they open up their trunks, it's decorated, and they pass out candies. So just in case you didn't know that. But so when you guys were doing the trunk or treat, I guess you were. Were you handing out like business cards of right. of the church and everything, saying, no. "Hey, this is the church. Come to our church."
No,
you didn't do that.
Of course not. I mean, that's not about community, guys. Like, this is not a bait and switch.
Mm.
Let's give them something so we can get something.
Mm, transactional.
Ooh, boy, we're in trouble if that's our focus.
Mm.
It's let's give them something because that's who we are.
Wow.
Because that is who Jesus is. And that's everything. And if not one person comes to your church out of that, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because as long as at least one person feels loved and like they are a part of a community now because of something that you got involved with, that changes everything. We don't build the church. Jesus builds the church.
Amen.
And we forget that all the time. We think, man, why? Why aren't there more members? Why? You know what? Stop it.
Yeah.
He'll build his church and he places each part exactly where it's supposed to be. And a lot of people, GCI isn't going to be where he places them. But there's going to be a lot of people where I truly believe GCI is where he will place them. But he's got to do it. It's not us.
Yeah. Amen. CJ, thank you so much for sharing all this.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Oh, I totally forgot.
Oh.
Jumping back on here real quick.
Okay.
I do have one last question to ask you.
Oh, no. I've listened to your podcast. It's about an elephant or a giraffe.
Well, how about this one? If you had to replace your hands with something other than hands or claws, what would you put at the ends of your arms?
Mm. Oh, man. I don't know where you get this stuff from. Do you just, like, Google, give me random questions?
That'll be another podcast.
Oh, boy. I would definitely say, you're going to laugh at this, two more mouths.
Dear Lord, please no.
Because I love food.
Oh, that's why. I thought so you could talk more.
No, not so I could talk more, but so I could just eat all the time because I love food. It's ridiculous.
That's good.
So there you go.
That's a good answer. Thanks.
Yeah. You're welcome.
What a great conversation that was with CJ. Of course, I grew up with CJ.
Mm-hmm.
I think I met her when I was 11.
Wow.
So I've known her for over 20 years. I can't believe I can actually say that.
Time marches on.
Yeah. But it made it easy, the conversation, but then it also intrigued me on how she was doing this. What stood out to you, Michelle?
I just really liked how the focus was not on the end goal.
Yes.
That she was present in the process and that it was about the relationships and the people that God had placed around her. It really is the love of Christ that compels her. And it's not about having to leave it online and hide behind that, where she engaged with people, provided and met for people's needs, and then met with them in person.
Yes.
And I just think it's so beautiful to see all the different ways that we can interact with each other. But through all of those different means, it's about the love of Christ. And she made that really, really evident. And it was beautiful.
Yeah. You mentioned how it wasn't about the end goal, mm-hmm. because their church is actually located away from that neighborhood. It's mm-hmm. it's only like 3 miles away, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it's way out in the stick. I mean, it's country. So it's not just a quick jot to the neighborhood. So it's removed enough to where people were not wanting to attend the actual church.
Right.
But they loved how CJ's heart and Lucas's heart, her husband,
mm-hmm.
of wanting to engage the community and help their neighborhood, help their community.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows, like you said, that Jesus's love compelled them to do this, to love their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And what's fascinating is what I really liked is that there was a focus on the neighborhood, because Surrey Hills it's not necessarily a town.
Mm-hmm.
It's a neighborhood that's north of the main town that it's located in. It's located in Yukon, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And it's not like some big community that they were focusing on in this, you know, this big area down in Yukon. It's their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good-sized neighborhood. It's been building up in different sections. But, I mean, this neighborhood, Just a little bit of stats that I pulled up online. Mm-hmm. There's 1,700 households, roughly about 1,700 households, little over 5,000 people. Half of the population only has some college or less of mm-hmm. education. Mm-hmm. And the median age there is 35.
Okay, so it's pretty young.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's a fairly young group. And so many churches are trying to figure out how to reach that age range.
Right.
40 to 18 mm-hmm. is where they're looking. Like, how do we reach that age? Mm-hmm. And you can see here that it took having a presence on Facebook and actually caring and not getting caught up in the politics of Facebook, but loving their neighborhood and meeting that neighborhood where they are. Because didn't Jesus come into our mess, into mm-hmm. our right. world?
Yeah. And it wasn't asking, you know, here's what's happening on Sunday. You know, it wasn't like, hey, let's get on social media and just get people to come to us.
Yeah.
She used social media to go to the people.
Absolutely.
Which is what Jesus would do.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it seemed like her entry point was the HOA, the mm-hmm. Homeowners Association, you mm-hmm. know, getting involved in there, kind of listening to the needs of the community. One of the quotes that I really liked that she said is, this doesn't just happen as an organization. It happens on an individual, personal level. Each of us need to do that. Mm-hmm. And she's not talking about, oh, each of us need to go into the church's community or somebody else's community, somebody else's neighborhood. She's calling out saying, you, as a disciple, love your neighbor that's right there next to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not saying that we don't go into the community where the church is located.
Right.
But she's sitting there saying, this is an individual thing. Don't wait on the church to do something.
But connecting it back to the church, too.
Yes.
Each of us is a disciple, right? So each of us is called to point to Jesus with our lives, right?
Absolutely.
Isn't that? And I mean, we're passionate about him. He loves us. That's an overflow of our hearts. You know, we're pointing to him with our lives. But then it's not connecting back to us. It's connecting back to his bride, the church.
Yes.
And so it's individual and corporate. It's a both.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So be sure to check out the show notes at the resources site. It is resources.gci.org/GC podcast. And you can get the show notes there. There's also some resources that we have in the show notes that you can download, some church hacks and those kinds of things to help you with this journey of engaging your community. Also, as a reminder, the 2019 regional celebrations, they're wrapping up, actually, because Dallas and Charlotte were about to have those celebrations occur.
Right.
And we just have two more after these. So they're starting to wrap up. It's a place to learn more about engaging your community and also hear more stories like this one.
Yes.
About engaging your community mm-hmm. and how to be a healthy leader, because that's the theme of these regional celebrations is how to be a healthy leader. I'm kind of going off of our notes here. So did you want to share a little bit, because you went to the Portland one? Did you want to share a little bit on kind of the energy that was there?
Yeah, I will say that it truly does feel like a celebration. The schedule is not just filled with like a dump of information, but it shares the vision. It shares stories of healthy churches and healthy leaders and how the Holy Spirit is moving in GCI. And you see people building relationships with another, connecting with one another. And there's just an excitement there that I was on a high for days after I left. It was really, really a special time. And I look forward to the next ones coming up.
So what are we going to do when we have almost back-to-back celebrations if it's that much of a high?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to sleep for like days.
Yeah.
I would say I'd give up coffee, but we all know that's not going to happen.
No.
That's a different level of energy that I desperately need. So.
So to find out more info about the regional celebration, go to gci.org/events and click on your region, and you'll find the location, dates, pricing, and you'll be able to register. Bring your ministry leaders too. It's a great time to come together as community, grow together. You're hearing the same thing but in different ways, and then how to incorporate that into your congregation. So you don't want to miss this event. And we will see you in the next episode, 008.
Oh. We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic or if there's someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.